welcome to Men in Charge. I'm Kevin Decker.
And I'm Tony Flynn. Today, we're chafing a little bit. We're under the wheel because once again, Ann Porter, Sandpoint artist, has usurped our position as Men in Charge by writing three of the four scripts for today's episode.
That's
and
right.
I think, isn't that what you meant when you came up with the title Under the Wheel, Kevin?
Well, I was thinking of many things. The title of the episode, Underneath the Wheel. What wheel is it? Is it the Wheel of Time? Is it the Wheel of Fortune? Or is it the Wheel Housewives of Orange County? We don't know, but whatever it is, we're under it, and it's very heavy. Thanks, Anne, for all those scripts.
It has the effect of belittling our mm-hmm. efforts, and I don't know why you're not a little bit more, I don't know, deferential to Kevin and me. You're just not.
I'm here to belittle, and I'm here to heckle.
Okay.
I see that as my main mission.
We're going to try to find a new main mission for you.
Yeah.
Because
there's no
serving of coffee, is there?
No, there's not. I've been trying, Tony, to get Anne to let me put my name on the script. But she's just like, how is that in any way, shape, or form fair? I don't get the question, but...
Well, it would be the way that have been done in the past.
It is. And I think there should be more curry favoring. There should be more little toe dug in the gravel, a little tipped hat and say, sorry, governor.
Yeah.
But no, you just keep writing scripts.
Somebody's got to step into the breach here.
Ooh,
you guys have
right.
not been giving up your
I
end
knew
of the
you
bargain.
Were do that.
There is a political dimension to this too, Tony. Benjamin Netanyahu asks Anne for scripts. She writes the scripts. He gets reelected, and then he says, I asked for those. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah, we're a lot like Netanyahu in so
in
many ways.
In many ways, yeah, that's right.
It's his 30th term. It's our 30th season.
I look down to him. He looks up to me, you know.
I mean, it annoys me because, once again, Anne is here pushing her scripts on us mm-hmm. in the breach. Simply the absence of ours means the presence of yours. I think it's time we talk a little bit about what we've got. But
we
should not let Anne talk about her scripts.
Oh, okay. So, Anne, the first thing we're not going to let you talk about is your – I'm trying to figure out the rules of discourse for this – is your script about contemporary naming practices and how we're so 16th century in calling people like Fred Bell because their family made bells or tapped bells or stole bells perhaps.
Exactly.
Oh, whoops. Okay. So, yeah. Sorry, Tony.
All right. Damn it. I know you were talking to me even though you were looking at Anne. The contemporary naming practices, we have a mad scientist. We have electrodes.
Yeah.
We have ways of reframing people's identities.
Radium.
Right.
Yeah.
That'll be a little closer to what they actually do for a living.
After that, we're going to hear from Vichy America Labs again, I think, and their spokesperson, and I use that word in its truly neutral sense, Jared Kushner. What's Jared or Jaredina trying to push on us today? Power implants.
Right. Because we know that contemporary men and masculinity is what this show is all about. It comes a little weak and pale and frail and bony and soft and indoor boyish as represented by Jared Kushner. And so according to Anne, who wrote this but who will not speak, there are ways to electronically implant brutal dictatorial masculinity into the body to bring out your inner Stalin.
Yeah. So many men today feel like they can't really let their chin jut upward at a 45-degree angle from the horizon like Benito Mussolini. The power implants let you do that.
And they let you hide the second double chin.
After that, we will be taking a look at White House advisor Madam Vladoma. And you know what? I don't understand this script, so I'm actually going to throw it to Anne.
Okay, Anne, explain your script.
Madam Vladoma?
Yes.
Madam Vladoma?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Madam Vladoma is the soothsayer for the White House, and she has people coming in that are high-level government officials.
Right.
And she says sooth to them.
She says sooth to them.
Yeah. And she's from... Foreign parts?
She is from foreign parts, and I'm using both the she and
the parts.
Foreign and the part.
Yeah. And she has a bit of a 5 o'clock shadow, doesn't she?
She does. Mm-hmm. Who knows who she might really be?
Does she ride horses bare-chested?
Oh, wait a minute.
Okay. Well, let the mystery dissolve in your tea. Finally, we have a script that Anne did not interfere with. It's pox and phlegm, a return to our friends who work for the president / media. Today, there's an expert coming in to talk about climate change.
So-called climate change.
And really, I think if we just got smaller SUVs to adapt to this peculiar weather we have periodically. And I think the arguments are pretty sound.
Welcome, listener, to the latest installment of Men in Charge's Pedantry on Parade. I'm Grady Grubb, Lower Heights Public Radio talk show host. We're here today with Professor Pratemore from Lower Heights Community College to investigate what's behind the latest complaints from his neighbors. Some claim there are strange noises coming from the single wide that houses our college linguistics department. Tell me, Professor, does this controversy have something to do with your research on contemporary naming theory?
Careful with that machine. Contemporary naming theory and practice. Well, yes, Mr. Grubb.
It's pronounced Grubb with an E. The E is silent.
Unfortunate. We'll see what we can do to help that. About my research, contemporary naming theory acknowledges that modern workers are computer workers. Miller. Who's really a miller anymore? Cooper. How many actual Coopers have you hired lately? And Smith, what nonsense. We can do better with our names. It's time to put theory into practice and celebrate digital profession / drudgery. That's only part of the picture, so let's not get ahead of ourselves. Before we start, it's always safety first.
Whatever you say, Professor, let's get suited up. What have we got here?
It's the subject that gets suited up, as you put it. So let's get you into this electrode harness while I wear the safety equipment.
Wait, me? But there's a tour group coming by the station any minute.
Even better. That means more test subjects. Now that you're all hooked up and we've got electricity to the starter module, let's turn on my apparatus.
But I can't move with that thing on. And what does this machine do?
Do? Why, this session with my fabulous invention will wrench you from the moth-eaten trappings of the 19th century and remake you into a true 21st century man.
Say, I kind of like the sound of that.
Of course you do. The social media overload of our digital culture leaves everyone looking for, shall we say, distinguishing marks. First, this machine will read the personal data you have so carelessly scattered all over the internet and generate a fresh contemporary last name in keeping with our times and your profession. Next, it solidifies your personal brand. The world will soon see the new you.
Wait, brand?
Shh, tattoos are so last year. But first, the readout. Here we go. It's coming. I now pronounce you. It seems to have given you the name Grubb, the same as before. Maybe it's had a minor malfunction. Well, anyway, it's time for your personal brand. You might feel some slight pressure.
You meant a real brand!
Physical reality. Who would have thought? Now we turn off the machine. Sorry, I guess I turned the dial the wrong way. Just a bit of a power surge. There we go. No ill effects, I hope.
No, I feel better. Cleaner, clearer, energized, and ready to share the good news about personal branding with everyone I see. And there they are, our tour group. Welcome to the Lower Heights Public Radio Station for this special event. Today, you're lucky enough to be participants in a fabulous new program. Now, please, everyone sit in a circle facing the professor's little contraption and settle into the comfy harnesses. We'll just work our way around the room, starting on the left. And you are?
Hi. I'm a loan officer at Lower Heights Credit Union.
While the machine works its magic, let me just mention that we all need to give up those old, outmoded last names based on skills in the physical world. Names like Smith, Fletcher, Zimmerman. It's time to reflect the present day. Loan officer, you are now Frida Fee Handler.
Day trader?
Wait, thanks to that power surge earlier, I feel like I can do it myself without the machine. All I need is a picture of hands on my phone. With the laying of my digital hands as a day trader, you are now Stanley Skimmer.
Digital hands?
Of course!
Data entry?
Fred Fingerswift. And now, the personal brands! My job here is done. I need to move up and out. It's time to take my new superpower to the streets. You are Felix Facebooker. You are Chad Life Coach.
Ow!
This is Professor Pratemore. At least, that's my name for now. Thanks to Grady's new calling, it looks like time for me to take over the host duties for Men in Charge's Pedantry on Parade. Tune in next week when we visit with Professor Shirley Slumpover.
Got to her too!
Professor Shirley Slumpover, as she discusses body mechanics in the digital age.
Greetings, listener. Now it's time for a word about the latest scientific innovations from the Vichy America Laboratories.
Hi, I'm Jared Kushner from the Jared Kushner Division of Vichy American Laboratories. Today I'm here with test subject Squee McAllister.
Yo.
Say, men, are you a victim of other people's success? Do you sometimes have to take a backseat to, well, the wrong sort? Do you feel like you could prove at last that you are made of sterner stuff if only things were somehow a little bit different, a little more stacked your way? You know you have a problem, but I'm here to tell you that you're not alone. Move up to the driver's seat and end those stirrings of kindness toward your fellow man. Stirrings that make you too hesitant to assert your will.
Yeah.
And even your fellow woman.
Especially them.
That's right. You know what I'm talking about. Like me, you want to celebrate your undeniable manhood. Thanks to modern science, there's a solution. It's discreet, it's affordable for the money classes, and it's painless, well, mostly. Vichy American Laboratories offers power implants.
Huh?
Wouldn't you like to have Mussolini's frisky lack of restraint? Pol Pot's devil-may-care attitude? Stalin's sassy sense of purpose? Duterte's freedom with firearms? Well, now you can with ITT, our patented identity transfer technology. Just when you thought that organ donation had reached its limits, my very own Jared Kushner Division of Vichy American Labs has perfected the personality trait implant. Using a simple outpatient procedure, we can copy those oh-so-powerful traits of your favorite dictators in cold storage. And implant them. Into your own pale, timid persona. For just 10 monthly payments of $29.99.95, you too can be a ravening despot in the palace you have always dreamed of. You will feel the power of purchased privilege coursing hotly through your bloodstream. And thanks to power implants from Vichy American Laboratories, I've turned pretty darn savage myself.
I feel different.
Of course you do. You'll be taking to the streets and chanting nationalist slogans in no time. But don't take my word for it. Just look at how it helped my very own father-in-law. That level of elite white masculinity does not happen without our patented power implant technology. So now you can grope women, have a good chuckle at disabled folks, and collect the foreign babies at the border. Order soon. For a limited time, we're offering our complete supremacy kit, which includes your implant, a tiki torch, a spray tan, and today and next year only, we'll send you an extra long red necktie. Yours absolutely free.
Yeah, give me that tie. Time for me to go rough up some reporters. Oh, and thanks. Nice leather.
Hey, wait. Squee, that's my wallet.
Power implants are not for everyone. Do not take if you are reasonable or plan to become reasonable. Side effects may include changes in skin tone, psychotic episodes, and manual shrinkage.
I'm Richard Bindley Sheridan, 18th century Irish playwright and parliamentarian. Next to my play, St. Patrick's Day, Many Charge is probably the most edifying way a perfumed, handkerchief-wearing wit can spend half an hour.
Greetings, listener. We're visiting today with Madame Vladoma, professional psychic and spiritual advisor here in Washington, D.C. Madame Vladoma, let me just say that I'm fascinated by your personal history. Intelligence officer for the KGB, extreme sports enthusiast, and an avid participant in U.S. elections. In 2014, the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project named you their Person of the Year for furthering corruption and organized crime.
I blush. You are too kind. It is true, though, that the elections in the United States hold particular interest for me. In fact, many of my clients are politicians. I really enjoy...
Blood, is that your wig slipping?
Oh, pay it no mind. As I was saying, I enjoy the, how you say, the rough and trickery?
Rough and tumble? And speaking of rough, isn't that a 5 o'clock shadow?
My disguises are none of your concern. To continue, here we are to enjoy the rough and tumble of the United States election process. But enough. Perhaps you listen in as I light many candles and advise spiritual clients. Welcome, child. You return to Madame Vladoma. How can I help you today, my pretty little Ivanka?
Oh, Madame Vladoma, things are getting too complicated. If it didn't cause wrinkles, I would be frowning. Oh, I'm getting more of those awful, awful lines. And then Daddy wouldn't think I'm special anymore. Oh, no, what am I going to do?
Calm yourself, Lapochka. Tell me what is going on.
It just seems like, I don't know, that everything is going wrong. It's not like we thought it was going to be. It's as if we don't deserve the money, the power, and, well, the fun. I mean, I never thought of Jared as thrilling, exactly, or Daddy as well. Normal, but still, I feel so, so unappreciated, especially because I try so hard to be special. And I am special, aren't I?
Of course you are, Zaika. So tell me, my sweet petal, what is going on in Daddy's house, the white one? Tell Madame Vladoma every secret, every little detail.
Well, this is really awful, but you know, how can I say this? But I'm not really blonde, you know?
Ah, calm yourself, Gothic. None of us are as blonde as we think we ought to be in these times. Tell me instead now more of your daddy's secrets.
Oh, I've already told you most of Daddy's secrets. Oh, but there is this one thing.
What's going on here?
Kellyanne Conway, another special friend of mine. Ivanka and I were just in the middle of a lovely little chat.
Lovely? I'll be the judge of that. There will be no more sharing of state secrets with those foreign elements. I know your type. Profiting from government contracts. Cozying up to ruthless dictators. Ignoring the representatives of the free, well, free-ish world. Besides, it's almost time for my appointment.
Oh, Kellyanne, if you don't tell on me, I won't tell on you. It's what the entire organization has agreed to. I'm going home.
Kellyanne, sit down and tell me, Zaicha, how goes your labors? What secret news do you share with me this week?
Oh, Madame Vladoma, the hard work I do to create new special facts still goes unappreciated. Always the fake news, always the disrespect, always the self-serving twist on current events.
Ah, yes, Malish, your days are made full with these tasks you list. But tell me instead now, what is it that others do to you?
What? No! I meant that those things are what the media is doing to me. I would never...
Of course not, Ripka. I see purity in your devotion to your master.
Uh-oh. Here he comes. I've got to go.
I Now we lower the lights. We pull out the sturdiest chair. We hide the corn-based snack products. Little Donnie, come, kiss my ring. That is enough. Just hand me that towel over there. Ach, sit, Zolotzi, my gold. Make yourself comfortable. Relax. I sense some sorrow from you. Some deep disappointments have come upon you in these last days and weeks. Let us summon the spirits and listen to their messages. Put your tiny hands in mine and close your eyes so we can call upon the powers that rule you. Here they come. I see them. They're all flying around your head. Stormy, Ivanka, Alexandria, Kamala, Elizabeth, Maxine, and... Ah, here she comes. It's the most powerful one of all. It can be. Yes, it can. It's Nancy. And what is it about them that causes you such great fear, my poor boy? Why, it is because they're all just... laughing?
Good morning, fellow Americans, and welcome to Pox News' Pox and Phlegm. I'm your anchor, Jeff White, here with special White House correspondent Bobby Vanilla and our blonde, Blanche Whitney.
Good morning, Jeff, and may I say, Blanche, that
Bobby, you cut me off. As I was saying, our regular blonde, Blanche Whitney, is having her nose rebobbed. So today, Pox and Phlegm is thrilled to welcome our substitute blonde, Heidi Weiss.
And may I say, Heidi, that you're...
Why not save your talking until after the show, Bobby?
I just wanted to compliment you on your...
Only my taser wants to kiss you, Bobby.
Well, today on Pox and Phlegm, we'll talk with a female scientist named Nelda Lopez, self-styled expert on climate change. And may I say, by the by, how nice it is to have two blondes on the show at the same time. Nelda, welcome to Pox and Phlegm.
Feel free to call me Dr. Lopez. I have two PhDs, one in physics and the other in climate sciences.
But those are, well, lady PhDs, right, Dr. Nelda? So how can you claim to be an expert in what has traditionally been a field led by men?
So much to correct in what you just said, but so little time. First, it's Dr. Lopez. Second,
I think what Bobby's trying to ask Dr. Lopez is, given that men have been in charge of science for so long, that's unfair, but a fact, as we all know, how your expertise matches up with the regular scientists.
Let's put aside your understanding of scientists for the moment and focus on the government's climate change report. Within the next decade, not century, but decade, our planet will see more and more violent weather and...
I just need to stop you for a moment, Dr. L. This so-called government report isn't endorsed by our president, right? I mean, he calls it a hoax. So how can this report really come from the government? What authority can it possibly have?
You know, I think there's something wrong with you, Mr. Vanilla.
That's Vanilla.
Actually, there's a lot wrong with Bobby, Dr. Lopez.
Yes, well, let's get back to the report, shall we? Now, Dr. Lopez, wouldn't you say this climate change report is filled with bad news?
Very bad news, Jeff. The worst news.
I think you're making my point for me, Dr. Lopez. You've brought us to the most important question of all. This report was paid for by the taxpayers, right? Now, why in the world should taxpayers pay for terrible news? No wonder the president tried to bury it to keep it from being released.
Plus, there's the problem of climate change being a hoax. Remember, as our president has pointed out time and time again, he knows more about science than the scientists do.
Perhaps you boys would just like to talk to each other?
I think what Jeff and Bobby are saying, Dr. Lopez, is that climate reports are bad for the people's morale here in the new America, and that perhaps we should focus instead on solutions or maybe ways to adapt. For instance, if I traded in my Chevy Forester for a Toyota RAV4 and the rest of the country followed my lead, that would go a long way toward fixing this climate change problem, right?
No.
That sounds like more left-wing hysteria to me. Here we have a practical solution, a way to cut carbon emissions that most Americans could get on board with, and you just poo-poo it to rile up your base.
Scientists don't have a base. We have information.
Well, what information is a matter of opinion, right? Like this idea that you scientists, regular ones and lady scientists both, keep ignoring even though it could be a win-win solution.
All right, Bobby. What? What solution?
Isn't it obvious? We could bring back coal cars. It would be win-win. You put unemployed coal miners back to work, and you stop using those fossil fuels, gasoline and diesel.
Bobby, coal cars are train cars that carry coal.
Oh, right. I knew that, Heidi. But we here at Pox and Phlegm are always trying out new, innovative ideas.
But not ideas like that one, Bobby. Why not stick to your White House beat? What's our president's take on this report besides utterly rejecting it?
So you don't need me here anymore? I'll just be on my way.
Oh no, not yet, Dr. Lopez. Bobby, didn't the president have something dismissive to say about wind farms?
Not yet, Jeff. But he sure will after he finishes watching our show today. Let's look at that term, wind farm. It's a farm, right? Farms harvest. And what happens after wind farms harvest all that wind for electricity? It's gone, just like wheat or plums. You pick them, the trees and fields are empty now.
Bobby, the wind is not agricultural. The wind is not a plant.
Exactly. You're making my point for me, Dr. L. And here's why. With wind, you can't put in seed to grow more of it. The seed would just blow away, ending up God knows where, probably in the hands of jihadists. Soon enough, Earth will run out of wind. I'll have to run my sailboat on its diesel engine alone. Pretty clearly, wind farms will increase the use of fossil fuels.
Sure. Why not? You know what else? If you wrap yourself in aluminum foil and chant for 3 days, you can talk to fish.
Bobby, you idiot. All you had to say was that the free market would solve any so-called problems caused or not by climate change.
Which happened in spite of the free market.
And on the Democrats' watch.
Sorry, Heidi, but I was distracted by the fragrant allure of your ever-so Republican cleavage.
You know, Heidi, I've thought in the past that taser use on this show has been a tad overzealous, but in this case...
Thanks, Jeff. Well, listeners, tune in again next time when the president will call in to explain why wind farms will put us in danger of running out of wind.
Well, Kevin, it's time to thank the people who, without them, there would be more of us. Ann Porter, Nancy Roth, Nisha Schramm, Kate Lebo, Tony Flynn, Kevin Decker, Amy Cabe, and Jody Stewart-Strobel.
And we'd also like to thank The Bad Plus for our theme song, 7-Minute Mind, and Vern Windham, Carrie Boyce, Nisha Schramm, and Brian Lindsay. The moral of today's episode is don't let people belittle your name based on its 16th century origins. Just legally change it to Hilda Roomba.